Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 30th of November, which is our fifth show for the month. We did an extra duty.
Yeah, well, they deserve it. They deserve it. I guess. How kind they are listening to us each and every week. Yeah. How was your, let's just get this out of the way here. How was your Thanksgiving? Was it all that you expected it to be?
Yeah, it was good. It was okay. We had some good wine. They had a couple spatchcock turkeys or whatever they're called, and I don't even know why it's called that. And
It's a butterfly is what it is. I mean, you just cut the backbone out.
What's it called? Spatchcock.
I think that was from South Africa. It was a thing. You know, you gotta have a thing. It's gotta be cool. You know, can't just be like, hey, I butterflied it. I just flattened out the turkey. I'm gonna have a flattened out turkey for this Thanksgiving. No, spatchcock sounds so much cooler. Has an air about it.
Yeah, an air of BS. So I barbecued mine on the with mesquite and alder. And I just, you know, there's different meats and even birds that take well to smoking and slow cooking without picking up too much smoke flavor. Turkeys and smoke just don't go together.
Yeah, especially if you're going to use a heavy smoke. You could use like an
to use a heavy smoke just by the nature of what if I cook with just 100% briquettes instead of mesquite, it may have been a less annoying. What it does is it ruins the skin.
Yeah, I mean, I did mine in 3 hours at about 275 on the Traeger pellet smoker, which, by the way, is like it's a smoker, but I had to use two separate devices. These metal shaped, one's a maze, it's called the Amazon, and the other thing is a tube with holes in the sides, and you throw all these pellets in there. I also throw chips in there, and then I light it up with a torch, because otherwise I get no smoke in my smoker. It's more like a wood burning oven.
Yeah, no, the Traeger is not a smoker. It's more of a stove.
I do what I can to make it a smoker, but what it's really good for when you get that smoke in the turkey is the next day, or what I dare say I had for dinner tonight, was the turkey salad that you make after the fact.
Cold is better. I agree.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Well, let's talk about some of the things that have been going on, because it's been a pretty busy week since last Tuesday. In fact, we had, of course, a shortened week last week. With Thursday, the market's closed. With Friday, the market's on a half day. With Friday, the market's getting just absolutely obliterated. So kind of a interesting thing that we had on Friday, this one-day wonder where we had a reversal of trade on the new and improved virus condition that's out there right now for everyone. So I know you talked about that on No Agenda to its obvious conclusion of what's going on there, and that's a must-listen this weekend, Sunday, the No Agenda show. You can get that over on various podcast repositories.
Thursday.
What do you mean Thursday? It was Sundays.
Yeah, Thursday. We got Thursday coming up.
Thursday was coming up, but I'm saying what you talked about on
last Sunday.
Yeah, last Sunday. And of course, we have the most mutations ever in this, whatever that means. And we have border closings already. We have chaos ensuing. And this is on top of all the things that are going on with Black Friday and the shortened day and Thanksgiving and Cyber Monday. And then we have Powell and Yellen deciding, you know, this is a good time. And now that we have this panic where God knows what's happening in South Africa, let's just shut down the entire continent of Africa, which, by the way, I was just there, right? I was in Egypt. So I got out of there before the scorpions hit and before this new...
Yeah. I think the scorpions were a bigger problem than this thing.
But. Probably. But now they decided, you know what? Now is as good a time as any to start really throwing in all sorts of chatter about raising rates and fiscal.
Yeah, maybe nobody will notice.
And nobody, we'll just throw it under the table and just, no, that's not the case. So we have one big word to change. We're retiring a word, which we're going to talk about. Pretty amazing. And the markets once again tanked today on the news of a speedier taper. And all this is going on, and I don't know. It's pretty crazy.
Speedier taper.
Yeah, they're talking about a speedier taper, and I'm not talking about the animal running through the forest, which is T-A-P-I-R. It looks like a kind of a big pig. Have you seen the taper?
Oh, yeah.
Tapir. And we have a new crypto segment that we're going to kick off today because crypto is just all the rage. So one of the things we've seen is a weird pattern that's been developing towards the end of the month. I think a lot of the stuff that's going on, and you mentioned this before we started the show today, and the discussion of, hey, Apple was up today. And I think what's happening is that if you remember back when we saw that SoftBank was doing their little maneuver of buying way out of the money calls in very large volume, forcing the hedgers that are selling these to buy the stock underneath to make sure they don't lose any money. By doing so, it would push up the stock price, creating short squeezes all over the place. And you keep on buying these out of the money and very far out of the money calls, and it creates this process. Massive amounts of options were traded today on Apple, expiring at the end of this week, that helped to propel the stock higher, which was, what, about 2.5% higher today, cutting close to the all-time high again. So this is kind of a game that's being played, and I think some of that game, just to bring this full circle about this weird pattern developing, is all about options. In fact, if I can go down my list and find this somewhere, because I did write this, here. I noticed this pattern, just eyeballing it, of major gap downs and significant downside moves for the SPY. And in 2021, there's this odd pattern. I'm going to read these dates. Big, if you just look at the charts, you see these big gap downs and gap downs. I took out the small little maneuvers. Here we go. January 27th, May 19th, June 18th, July 19th, August 19th, September 20th, and November 26th. Those are the only major gap downs that you can look at on a chart. Now, do you notice the consistency there?
Yeah. I'm not looking at the chart, though. I'm just looking at the every month, it seems, almost to the day. You got June 18th, July 19th, August 19th, September 20th. And now this one was kind of off schedule, 11/26.
I think this one happened due to the fact that it was a weird end of week. It was
holiday.
Yeah, it was a holiday. It was low.
Also, 1/27 is also. And then what happened between 1 and 5?
There wasn't a lot, but I think what this is all about is options expiration, the third Friday of the month.
Ah, that would. Yep.
So I think what's going on is
maybe 1/27 was it just a test of the idea?
Could be.
And then you looked over the data for the next few months. What if we did it again and again and again? Well, it looks like that would work too. So let's start up on 5/19.
What day of the week was 1/20? Let me kind of look at this here. I'm kind of curious what 1/27. It was a Wednesday. No significance there. There is options expiration there possibly too. That's the fourth. Nah, not really. I don't know. But this is something that's been going on. I think it's getting a lot of play, and I think that there's a lot of traders that are watching this, working it. And I think the big boys are also playing these games where they're moving options around, thereby causing individual stocks to move. And it was something that was really the failure of SoftBank, because they got in big trouble from this, because once everybody realized it, they're like, oh, no, we're not going to be allowing for that. And they dropped all these stocks down pretty significantly. So we had the worst day for stocks in 2021 on Friday, and that was probably a result of some of this that's going on.
Hmm.
So, but one of the things we did see was that as soon as the variant concept, the, oh my God, we may go into lockdowns again, and airlines, And all while we're going to be closing down borders, we saw the companies like Zoom and Wayfair and
yeah, that's where I lost my pick last week.
Yeah. These all started to move dramatically higher, Zoom, on this news, and then they kind of faded after that. But pretty amazing. And, you know, this is by the dip that happened. We saw about a 1,000-point drop on the Dow on Friday. It was a pretty ugly day. And then buyers came in very aggressively. The VIX had one of the biggest moves on record on Friday. I think the third largest move on record on Friday. Big move also today, about 15% higher. But one of the things that's really kind of going on here, even though the Fed had talked about today in front of Congress, hey, we're probably going to increase our momentum on the taper. And we're seeing that inflation is something. And the 10-year yield is down at 1.44 after clipping 1.7 last week. And this is all because of this Omicron.
Which
Omicron. All right, what did I say? Omni? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm probably not alone in that. But which you did point out, there's an anagram for this.
Yeah, moronic.
How do you think of these things? Do you see it when you see the letters? Do you have that kind of mind?
Somebody tipped me off.
Oh, okay. I got you.
One of our producers spotted it very early on.
One of the things I also want to mention is that indicators are starting to get oversold. We're seeing the McClellan deep into the red, -263, pretty much one of the lowest readings we've seen this year. Spearman's coming down, a few other put call ratios, a variety of sentiment indicators are pretty ugly. I would not be putting a kibosh on the opportunity for a bounce in the next couple of days, especially with the beginning of the month here and then the end of the month seasonality happening.
Yeah, I kind of tend to think you might be right.
Yeah. A couple of end-of-year updates to talk about. On the 15th, Horowitz Company, that's my company, we're having a webinar. You can sign up over on thedisciplinedinvestor.com. On the right-hand side, it gives you the information. We're talking about the outward look and the what's going to happen in themes for 2022 and some of the summation and what's going on for 2021, what happened, I should say, and some of the things we're doing with our clients. Also, I mentioned No Agenda Show. You are on Thursdays and Sundays. What other exciting things are you planning for the end of the year? Anything?
No, not really. Just, you know, the same following. And we're trying to get take some time off, but we're not going to do it this year. So
like when you're
going to work through the holidays. As
oh, you
usual.
Are, huh? Wow. Yeah. All right, let's do an update on VR. I think I told you that I got the Oculus.
Yes.
Oculus Quest 2. So a couple things we checked off the list to see how they worked. First, games. Played a little ping pong, which frankly brought back some of my tennis elbow, as sick as and sad as that sounds.
It's very, very screwy. Yeah.
It's kind of a cool
good thing
game.
You didn't throw out your back. Jeez.
Some of the things I don't like about it, you can't really do a lot of good ping pong maneuvers because it doesn't, you know.
Slice.
You can slice.
You can?
Yep, you can slice, but you can't do like a low, like wait for it to come off the table, wait, and then do a kind of quick top spin over the top.
A top spin, that's your shot.
Yeah, that's a problem. Meetings not working just yet. We're trying to get some meetings going. I checked out a few other games. Somebody in the chat room mentioned, hey, you know, did you get any fishing games? The idea of what? Just holding my hands and going around and around. There's nothing pulling me. There's no physical.
Yeah, it needs some haptics there.
Exactly. We did
when they had the fishing game, Bass Fish or whatever it was in the old Sega.
Yeah.
You had a little pole and the thing would go crazy.
Yep. That's what we need. I did check out some porn today. Very cool. Very bizarre and very disorienting. There's just all these, you can go to these websites. It's like nothing.
Did you get a lap dance or anything? What's going on?
It was pretty intense. Let me tell you. Seriously. I'm like, I watched it for a couple of minutes. I'm like, oh, wow. I guess this does work. So that's a check mark. That's a check mark there.
Wow. Well, that's going to be the new, that's where it's headed then.
Of course. So one of the things I want to follow up on, and then we kind of a lot of other things to talk about here. A follow up. I think we talked about, you and I, the idea that now that Powell has gotten reappointed, And the idea was he waiting until that time to ensure he got all this excitement out of the way about, you know, what was going to happen, the definitive nod, because we want to make sure that we had someone who is still very dovish and very much in the camp of keeping rates low. And now that he's got it, he's turning hawkish.
Yeah. Yeah, we did talk about this. You think he was scheming. You suspected him of scheming.
He was a schemer. I think so. They're talking hawkish. You know, they're talking about all these things that are going on. I mean, it's pretty significant. As a matter of fact.
Well, when they have this inflation, they've got to do something.
Wait, let me find this here. I got to find this in here because I think I want to bring this up right now. Okay. So let's kind of go through this, then come back about the discussion about Yellen and Powell's testimony today. The tag team match of the former Fed official and the new. Build Back Better plan will help keep consumers with raising costs. I don't know what that means. With raising costs. We're going to help consumers.
What does that mean?
I don't even know, but that's what they said. There was a factor out there. I mean,
I think it means with rising costs.
With rising costs, maybe. So it's going to help somehow. Well, because it's going to be built and it's going to be back and it's going to be better.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the answers we get. You know, how is putting all sorts of the money into the economy better for keeping prices down? Especially, you know what we need to do? Let's cut to the chase on this just for a second, John. Tell me what you think about this. The way we could slow down the price appreciation a la inflation is by slowing down spending on items, slowing the economy. And that would mean simply raising rates. That has the impact of slowing down the economy.
I would think so.
I mean, right?
Well, you know, the problem I think they have is what is on your list, which says factors pushing inflation upward will linger into next year. So they have this issue because I don't think they're convinced of their own thesis that it's going to linger. Because if it's going to linger, then it means, you know, is it really going to linger? Is it just going to become an inflationary environment? We better put the kibosh on it sooner than later. Because if we wait too long, it could go out of control. It could go crazy.
Right, because you have the compounding impact, inertia, right?
Yeah, inflation begets inflation. Right. Oh, my God, the prices are going up. I better buy now.
Right. I mean, I just bought a bunch of paper for the office. I know it's end of year. I bought ink cartridges. I just filled up all sorts. I don't need all those ink cartridges. I bought a variety of things. Just to have, just in case. Why not?
I don't know. You're part of the problem.
I am part of the problem. There's no question about that. So now they also talked about generally price increases spread more broadly and the risk of higher inflation has increased. This is Yellen and Powell talking about this. It gets better. They talked about, well, there's risk to digital currencies and Congress should pass regulatory framework for stable coins, which I think there's some good thoughts there. I think that Congress may screw it up, but stable coins,
they'll definitely screw it up.
Yeah. But stable coins, different than cryptocurrency, different than altcoins necessarily. These are coins that are backed by something. They're supposed to be guaranteed, so they need to be backed by something. And really all they are is just another way of...
You're talking about like a quarter, a couple of nickels, a roll of pennies?
It could be, I don't care what it's backed on, but it needs to be backed with something if they're guaranteeing that it's like a money market. They act like a money market, whereas there's no variation from the dollar price of the stablecoin. And some of these are built upon the backs of massive leverage. You can go to places and get 6, 7, 8, 10% income by giving them money. And what they do is they go through the stablecoin process and they leverage it and send it out. And there's a question about really how much leverage is backing these stable coins and what if?
Yeah, what if, or when?
Right. So there's no
word we're leaving out is collapse.
Correct. The word collapse. So they need to do something about that because it is a kind of a wild west of this. I mean, cryptocurrency is the Wild West. I don't know what you consider this. This is way out there. And it looks and it smells, it tastes, it feels, it acts like a money market mutual fund or a money market or a cash reserve account. Therefore, it needs to be probably regulated. I don't have any real problem with that. And they shouldn't either if all they're trying to do is create a coin with stability for trading purposes.
Yeah, stability would be a good word. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any evidence that they can do it.
Right. The inflation test that the Fed has articulated has clearly been met now. The inflation test that they have articulated, which is above 2%. Here's the kicker. Wait till you just sit, just hold on. Because this is something, what he said. It is time to retire the word transitory and explain inflation more clearly. So either he's saying that, let me kind of read this back in a different way. They figured out that it's really not transitory. We really need to explain what inflation is and what to expect more clearly from here on out. They're not going to use the word transitory anymore.
Well, they took one word out of vocabulary, but they still don't make any sense.
Of course they don't make sense.
It's just like, I guess by saying we're taking this word out might give people hope. I don't know what the point is.
The point is, if
the point is, it's not transitory.
It would never was.
Well, they said it was.
They said it was transitory because they would back up why during a time of inflation that everybody saw very clearly, and only these certain groups of people were trying their best to discredit the idea for some reason. And the reason was because if there's no inflation, everybody knows what happened the last time in markets when inflation kicked up. It wasn't pretty, right? Volcker had to come in and they had to tamp it down. And now we have a set of circumstances very similar to that in terms of how it looks right now. And we have on top of it, the idea that, well, the Fed's going to continue to have low interest rate and we're going to see additional stimulus or dollars flood into the system. We may have to do something about this. And they held off as long as possible. They fought the good fight. But the problem is once they drop this, no wonder why markets had a conniption today.
Yeah.
You remember the inflation times back in the 80s?
How about the 70s?
70s and 80s. I mean, it was pretty ugly.
Kind of tapered off really quick in the 80s, but I think it peaked out around 78, 79 with a 20%. If you took a home loan out, it'd be like 25% instead of 3.
That's the other problem. Once you start raising rates, all of a sudden your housing market starts to crumble. Once you raise rates, all of a sudden the calculation of the valuation of a stock goes sideways. Once you raise rates, it's much harder for people to borrow at low cost. Therefore, all of a sudden, the margin loan rates will go up and there's less money to buy stocks. There's all this that happens, which is exactly reverse of what's been the case for the last, I don't know how long, 10 years?
Probably.
Since 2009? So everybody's fighting this very, with everything they have because they don't want to see that scenario arrive. It's been a great party.
It's a cycle, and it's cycles, maybe it's over.
Yeah, well, that was what the Fed was trying to get at. They were trying to discredit the cycle theory of economics. They're trying to totally say that we broke the cycle. That's their thinking. We have come up with
solutions. How often in our lifetimes and how often in the lifetime of the economy have people claimed to have broken the cycle, any cycle, the business cycle, the stock market cycle, any cycle? You can't get rid of these things.
Every time they do, what happens?
It just, it makes it very clear the cycle still exists.
Exactly.
It crashes.
Exactly. As soon as you're like, uh-huh, yeah, we're going to have expansion forever, uh-huh, they've come up with a solution for this. You know, what happens is it just all turns around and gets, you know, smooshes them. So they also talked about on the labor markets, they said some people are not willing. You need, this is where I need your help because I'm having some problems here. Some people are not returning to the labor force market because they're scared that schools might close again. Others are scared of the virus. It's going to take a while for labor force to return to normal. The U.S. is going to need a long expansion to get labor markets to pre-pandemic levels. Let's just stop. On one hand, they're saying we're going to need a really long expansion cycle to get labor markets to pre-pandemic levels, meaning, hey, we can keep interest rates really low for a long time. We need to really supercharge, super pump this economy because that's the only way we're going to get these labor markets back. On the other hand, people are just scared because we have all this virus stuff going on. So how does that work together? How does that make any sense?
Well, I blame the media. Well, it's because the public, I think, at large has been fed a nothing but endless meals of fear-mongering.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, you know, they're not comfortable doing anything, let alone hunkering down and getting a good job and actually making a steady income because they think the whole world's coming to an end. We're all going to die.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me, though, that there may be some, you know, even the Fed was yesterday out with, oh, we think we have to change our economic outlook because of this new variant. I'm thinking, wait a second. Didn't this variant come on the scene like Wednesday? And all of a sudden, we're in massive lockdowns again. And we if you watched any of the news, we had the Pfizer guys on, the Pfizer other guys on, the Moderna guys on, the AstraZeneca guys on. You know, we had the J&J guys on. Everybody's tooting, oh, we think we got this.
Yeah, because they want to get rid of their inventory.
Right, and then tonight we saw the Pfizer was I think, got emergency use authorization for their, was it Merck?
Pill.
For the pill. And, you know, this is all going on. It's like, what? What? How is this all happening? So, and then they slip under the rug the whole idea that the Fed, the Treasury is pretty much going to run out of money December 15th if we don't get a budget done.
Yeah, forgot about that.
You know?
Yeah.
So kind of crazy. By the way, speaking of media, because you brought it up, did you see about Chris Cuomo tonight?
Yeah, they fired him. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yes. I used the wrong word. They put him on hiatus.
He's on, what do they say? He's on something leave. On
some sort of, I forgot what terms they use, but that's what it meant.
Basically, you're fired. We don't want to say you're fired. We're going to let it go until somebody doesn't talk about it anymore. Then just to let you know you're fired.
No, he's done. He's off. Yeah. He's gone. He was corrupt.
So then on top of it, we're not going to talk about this because you're going to talk about this and Adam's going to revel in it on No Agenda, so we'll leave it to confirm.
Probably.
That. Yeah. A couple of things. You know, we saw that oil was going up because, you know, wow, so much need for oil. And OPEC, you know, was going to continue to keep, you know, the levels they were. And then President Biden and the gang to the rescue. The allies are going to release the strategic oil reserves like on a Wednesday last week, right? Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then on Friday, the realization of, hey, maybe this pandemic's not over. Oil goes down $10 a barrel. In fact, just to kind of show you the strength of allowing for the strategic petroleum reserves to be released by multiple countries at the same time, right in the face of OPEC, oil prices went up right after the release. Went up.
Yeah, and it's, I think it's back down.
It's at 66.
Oh, it went down. Last time I looked, it was 75.
Nope. It's probably at about 66 half right now. Oil went topped out in November at about $84 per barrel.
So it started to go down the minute somebody predicted it's going to hit 100.
Of course.
Every time somebody predicts it's going to hit 100, it goes down.
I think it was gold.
I think it may be code.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's like every time.
So you're thinking that this is kind of a dog whistle in the area of oil, and it's alerting all of the guys, hey, it's going to hit 100. sell.
Yeah. Dump sell. My cell.
I love it. All right. Let's see what else we got here. What's going on? We had that. Oh, gifts for the holidays. Speaking of whistle, Tesla announced that they are now selling the Cyber Whistle. Put a link on the website under the show notes for episode number 583 on dhunplug.com. And it's clearly made in the shape of like a Cybertruck. Stainless steel, very nice. I think it's only $25. But it's clearly made for those people that want to be whistleblowers. You might as well have that. I think it's a little bit of a jab by Elon Musk.
Another one of his little gags.
Mm-hmm.
Like his fire blaster, whatever it is.
Yeah, the flamethrower from the Boring Company.
Yeah, flamethrower.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to talk a little about, this whole idea that global markets are in a panic and there's being shutdowns in the UK and the Netherlands and Germany and Italy and South Africa and Australia and don't you have this, it's amazing how there's none here.
Well, you know, the only thing, and all the right-wing talk show places have discussed this, the only information coming out of South Africa is by a couple of clinicians, one of whom came on the air, and she's been quoted extensively saying, yeah, we got a bunch of patients, but this is the mildest form of COVID we've seen. It's not putting anybody in the hospital. It's not even like a bad cold. And the media in general is just ignoring this simple fact. I think this thing's a scam.
It is very troubling that this thing has, let's for a moment talk about the naming of this. So the next name in the schedule, if it was a hurricane, you know how hurricanes go through letters?
Yeah,
and all
the
that?
Next name would be she.
No, it would have been new.
Oh, it was new? I thought it would be new. X-I, she, the same as the chairman
first,
of China.
The first was new. The next in line was new and you. And they thought that people would get confused about the thought that this is new COVID.
Ah.
So that's no good. Yeah, I can't do that because people get such idiots out there. Everybody's going to be so stupid. They're going to think it's, something otherwise. Now, the next one was, as you mentioned, XI, which is the same name as Xi Jinping, the leader of China. And, of course, we couldn't have that.
Because according to the WHO, they said specifically it would insult China. They can't do it. China is their biggest supporter, so I don't blame them.
So we're off. So now we have this new name for this thing, which nobody gets right.
Omicron.
Skipping around to the weekend, seems the National Federation, Retail Federation, came out. They said in total, 179.8 million unique shoppers made it in-store and online purchases during the holiday weekend, which that seems to imply that everybody was out shopping.
I wasn't.
179.8 million people is pretty much everyone in the country except for kids under 18.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So maybe people were out. Maybe they're counting gas stations. Maybe they're counting 7-Elevens. Maybe they're counting.
I follow the traffic around here. I didn't see anything different.
It's down from last year's 186 million. The number of people who shopped in stores increased this year. I don't know how that relates pretty much, but retailers saw an increase in foot traffic with approximately 104 million shoppers visiting stores. I heard just the opposite from many of other services. They were up from 92 million last year. The overall number of online shoppers decreased to a total of 127 million from 145 million last year. These numbers are stupid. There's no reason to look into these numbers and find anything worthwhile because this is giving this big blast of information. Some of the problem is that on Thursday, in fact, there was many stores closed. So
That's a good point.
98% drop in traffic on Thursday or it's 93%, whatever the number is, some ridiculously high number because Walmart, Target, and other stores were closed.
So do you think it's possible they closed specifically on Thursday to pump up their numbers on Friday because that's the numbers everyone looks at?
I mean, here's the numbers. Traffic at retail stores on Black Friday dropped 28% compared to 2019 levels. So it's still significantly lower. One of the other reasons is that we've been buying stuff and trained to buy stuff all year round. And on top of it, there's not a lot of great deals. Traffic was up 47.5% compared to a year ago levels. So you get traffic up, but yet, you know, sales from a year ago. On Thanksgiving Day, visit to brick and mortar stores cratered 90% from 2019 levels. Retailers including Target, Walmart, Best Buy opted to keep their doors closed to customers on the holiday. On Thanksgiving Day, consumers spent $5.1 billion on the internet. By the way, so even if the stores were closed, people could buy on the internet, and they only bought the same as they bought last year. So something's up.
Something's wrong with all these numbers.
Yeah. I don't trust any of these retail numbers for any reason. We did see consumer confidence today drop down, and you know, it's probably from you know, a variety of different factors, but I think that the consumer's getting kind of, you know, a little bit done on all this. I think they're kind of at the saturation point. I mean, everybody's bought everything they wanted to buy over the last year or so.
Everybody I know has already done their Christmas shopping.
Yeah, because they were panicked, right?
They were told to be panicked, and they panicked.
Right. You want to talk about metaverse stocks, the whole metaverse thing?
Well, you know, I have a bone to pick with you. I took a sneak peek at the stock picks.
Oh gosh, what happened?
Well, you're staying in the same segment.
Okay.
Now the third time in a row.
Okay, and?
Well, we've never done that before. I mean, I've always avoided picking like biotech. I pick one biotech. And then I try to find some other segment to pick from.
So your rules that were self-imposed.
No, it's no rules. It's just been going on for 10 years. We've been doing it this way. We've been going from sector to sector. We don't just load up on one sector. We're like as though we're some sort of a mutual fund, you know, pretending that they're one thing. And then meanwhile, all they own is high tech. And they're, we're a high yield.
All right. So you want me to take my pick off?
No, I want you to leave it on this time, but I'm just going to say if you can't keep picking these things. You already have the big winner. You got some huge kick-ass 50, 60% jump on one of these metaverse stocks. I don't know about the other one, the one you're so fond of, which is Roblox. But you've just totally blown the roof off with the other one. I don't think this one, I'll leave it on, but I don't think it's going to perform like the one.
Probably not. I bought that the other one at a really good time. But the other thing is that, you know, I'm really sensing that we are, as a matter of fact, over the last several days, you would expect some of these high flyers to really get kicked right off if we had them on, right? And they've held up extremely well, which is kind of interesting. The thing is that I'm looking kind of outward, and it does seem to me that a lot of the other themes have played out pretty well. And I think a lot of these other areas have a significant amount of money that's already been invested, and the money's going to want to go somewhere else because I think it's been these ideas are old for the most part. So that's kind of where I picked that. So, I will take that under advisement. I don't think there's any more I could have in there anyway. There's three of them I'm picking
now. I mean, there's other things. There's nanotech. We never really explored that too much. There's still a pot thing that goes up and down and up and down. It doesn't seem to really be loaded.
True.
There's other sectors that I think have been have not been fully explored.
I agree with that. I will look for something very different next week. Okay.
Yeah, I can see this coming. Yeah, it's gonna be golf tees or something like that.
Yeah, it may be something like
big
that.
Big golf ball maker.
Yeah.
Titleist.
There is some news in this whole area though. In the coinage area, we saw that things like sand used in this new sandbox game that was released yesterday, where if you want to start, you have to buy yourself land because you have to build stuff, you know? So you're gonna buy land, it's gonna cost you like a few hundred dollars to $1,000 to $2,000. There's something on sale there for like $10 million. Who in their right mind is buying this? I don't know. We saw last week.
I saw this too. This is the dumbest thing I've seen for a long time. But it's going, you know, and I'm not even sure it's any of it's true.
Well, is there a limitation?
That's what you had just asked the question, the proverbial question. Who's spending $10 million on something that doesn't exist? And I'm wondering who myself. I doubt it. It could be bull crap.
I think that there is a lot of money that was made in various coins over the years. And people are like, what the hell? What the hell? I got, you know, 40,000 of them. I'll spend three.
What the hell? I got $40 million. Let me throw $10 million at this. I don't know.
Yep. So you have the sand, which is one coin token. And you have mana, M-A-N-A, mana, which is used in Decentraland. So one of them used in the sandbox game. One is Decentraland.
Decentraland.
And NFTs are being bought up. And this is what's being happening. So what's happening now is that they've kind of shoehorned the idea of these virtual games with the NFTs. So now you can buy yourself clothing. You can buy yourself a painting. You can buy yourself something. And you can now decorate your house. It's a very expensive proposition to what it is. People just buying the stuff.
Then you have to explain to someone who came over why you spent so much money on something.
I mean, for $50,000, you know what they could do? Yeah. They can get the full collection of this year's podcast so they can listen to them in Decentraland.
Well, maybe we should figure some way of getting in on this.
If someone knows anything about how to package, how to create audio NFTs, we would be happy to listen to this. We would engage. We'd even figure out a way to make it extra special for those that bought it.
Yeah.
You know? Now,
We'd do the podcast nude.
There you are. There you go. And it would be audio only, by the way, just to make sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. but there's some more money in NFTs. Now, this ties right into what's happening with the metaverse. Metaverse developer Republic Realm has successfully sold the Metaflower, like the Mayflower, I guess, the Metaflower Super Mega Yacht for 149 ETH, about $650,000, making the digital making the digital yacht the most expensive NFT asset in the sandbox, which is what we just talked about. It's currently leading metaverse games, boasting collaborations with brands and personalities such as Adidas and Atari and Bored Ape Yacht Club and Binance, Snoop Dogg, the Smurfs, Deadmau5, and others. They have developed a series of fantasy islands, too.
They should be ashamed of themselves for doing this.
You could buy all these islands if you want to.
You can buy a real island if you really have money.
Yeah, exactly. But who's buying a boat? That's a meta. Could you imagine buying a boat that by the way, has the characteristics of a Lego boat? It's not like it's really sleek and all. It's very sharp-edged, very rudimentary design. You know, it's like graphics card 1.0. So I don't know.
I think the Securities Exchange Commission should be looking into this.
Somebody's making a lot of money and people are, who knows also, like you said, did somebody really buy that boat? And now you have these DAOs. Remember these DAOs? DAO? Where they're banding together to buy things.
Yeah.
So who knows, you know? Back to more reasonable. This is more reason. This next story is more reasonable. Leather jackets are being banned in North Korea because this style that the North Korean leader, you know, Kim Jong-un, you know, he had that big, long leather jacket thing that he would wear. The black, I think it was black, right?
Yeah, I think.
He popularized this in 2019, and it was kind of initially worn by a lot of rich people. However, now, all of a sudden, the leather is being imported into different ways and much cheaper, and it's maybe
fake leather,
which now frustrated the North Korean leader.
I find this story just bull crap.
Well, wait till the next one. There's more coming.
They're going at, for some reason, because, you know, I get the biggest kick out of this, I forgot what they used to call North Korea, the Hermit Kingdom.
Yeah, the Hermit Kingdom, yeah.
And so the Hermit Kingdom, all of a sudden we get all this news out of the Hermit Kingdom. They got no source for this news. It's not just this. They could be making up anything you wanted because the Hermit Kingdom doesn't even get any feedback. It's nonsense. It just makes stuff up.
Well, in that theme, this gets even better. You know that movie Squid Game, right? The Netflix show out of South Korea that gained a lot of popularity, blew up the internet. Everybody's all excited, right?
Squid Game.
Yep, Squid Game. So now a North Korean man has been sentenced to death for sneaking a copy of Squid Game into the country. The smuggler will be executed by firing squad after authorities caught
a... set the dogs on him. That's the other one that got...
Oh, just rip him apart? Yeah. After authorities caught a group of students watching the South Korean Netflix drama. The student who brought the copy was sentenced to life in prison, while six others who watched it were given 5 years of hard labor. Teachers and administrators at the school are also being punished, with some being fired and sent to work in the mines. It's caught by the 109 SAGMU, which is the Surveillance Bureau Group 109, which is a specialized government strike force that hunts down illegal video watchers. Is this their job?
Again, this is the Hermit Kingdom. How do we know any of this, let alone the exact name of some crazy group that's named kind of in a Western fashion? You know, the Surveillance Group 109, it's like PT 109, which is Kennedy's old patrol boat.
Right.
I'm not buying it again. This again, I'm not convinced that any of this is true.
Yeah, it's a weird.
They hunt down illegal video watchers.
They're on the hunt. What they do is they're sneaking in your house. They're watching, and then they have to watch what you're watching to see if that's illegal to match it up.
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
More phony baloney in this segment here. We have the Merck pill. Remember that pill that rocked the world is going to be doing away with the vaccines. You know, it's this wonderful thing. And Merck stock went up dramatically on this. Well, in October, data showed it roughly
epic fail.
50% efficacy based on data from 775 patients. Now the drug pill, it showed a 30% reduction in hospitalization and deaths based on the data from over 1,400 patients. Now, I heard somebody talking about this whole process today. You know, if you think about that, it was 50% efficacy on 775 patients, right? Got that?
Yeah.
Now they pushed it up to 1,400 patients, and they're down to 30%, meaning that pretty much the second batch of people never got any benefit.
So this thing that's the way it calculates.
This thing is, who is allowing these companies to come out with this kind of information before there is enough data? Don't you find this?
They want to run the price of their stock up and then short it. That's all I can think of. Offshore, of course.
But the problem is, why is the SEC allowing this? Why is anybody allowing for this?
Well, they could call it the test. You know, it's legal to test market. And by that, I mean, it's legal in the SEC's eyes to announce a product just to see if anybody wants the product. And then if they don't want the product, then you can cancel the product. If the stock goes up and down in the meantime, there's nothing you can do about that. And I think that's what we're dealing with here.
I don't know. The whole thing's ridiculous. Can you imagine
it's called manipulation as far as I'm concerned.
Can you imagine if I had a day that I had a portfolio that had all cash in it. I bought one stock and I was up 10% for the day, and I annualized it to 2,000% annualized return based on this. And I tried to sell that out there as, that's what it was. I'd have my head handed to me.
But that's not the same. What you're describing is fraud.
Okay, what are they doing?
They're announcing a pill, and they're saying we're going to do this pill, and then they tested it, and it didn't work. I don't think that they honestly believed it wasn't going to work to the extreme that it doesn't work. Mm. I don't think they're dishonest about it, but it's something. I don't see any rules against this.
Okay, I just find it to be that maybe until they get through a certain phase of the trials, they should be locked down.
I'm not arguing with you about that. I'm just telling you what the way I see the rules. It's not against them.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. A couple of quick things. A tech company is gearing up to launch a new human-looking robot, but they want it to have a friendly face. So they're paying $200,000 to someone to use their face. Now, what you have to do is you have to put your application in, And the application winner will first have to take a 3D modeling process of their face and body for the robot's external features. Then you'll have to dictate at least 100 hours of speech material to copy your voice. I mean, this could have been good for Casey Kasem or somebody, but 100 hours? Who could do 100 hours?
100 hours is
a lot of time.
Well, it's $2,000 an hour to be yakking away. I think that's the way I calculate it. It's not too bad. Not a bad use of your time.
100 hours, 2,000.
We just take, well, why don't we just take, give them 100 hours of podcasts?
We could do that. They come up with anybody they want. They can come up with, you know, some just crazy hit of something. All right.
There's a lot of podcasters that just do solo podcasts and they've talked more than 100 hours. So.
True. True. Well, you could get it if you want. Look up the, what company is it? Do I write down the company's name? I think they're in Australia. But put in your best image, I guess, and see what happens. So we have a crypto segment. Thanks for Dave Ackerman for putting this together and putting together this update, a listener. A couple of things to mention because, you know, everybody's talking about crypto. Let's talk about some of the things that are going on, some of the things that are interesting and not. But Odell Beckham Jr. requesting the Rams pay his new contract in Bitcoin through Cash App. I have a question for you. Let's say for a second, John, you were working for me. And you like Bitcoin. You love Bitcoin. You love it. Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm going to pay you $20,000 for a project. Okay?
Okay.
Now, why do you need to tell me to put that payment through some kind of portal or something?
Yeah, why don't I just take the $20,000 and go buy the Bitcoin myself?
What's the big deal of this thing about I'm wanting to take my pay in Bitcoin?
Yeah, it makes no sense unless there's some scam going on. This is just a red flag, as far as I'm concerned, to the IRS.
I find the whole thing ridiculous. I mean, seriously, it's not only that. It's just, it's this kind of like, look at me. Oh, I am so, I don't know if it's woke or I'm so cool or I'm so whatever.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Just go take your money.
I'm coined up.
Yeah, take your money and go buy your Bitcoin. It takes 2 seconds. Really, it takes 2 seconds. What is it? You don't want to pay the $30 fee? You know, it's just so stupid.
I agree 100%. This is the dumbest thing. And you're right. What's the point of making a big stink about it?
Right. It's got to be. And then you have all.
Also, it's an inconvenience to the team. They're not necessarily all, you know, they don't necessarily have the mechanism to do it correctly. It's going to be a pain in the ass for them.
Yep. So and then
for the bookkeeping part of it, you know, for your end of year, the finances, your income statements and all the rest.
How about with withholding taxes and things of that nature?
That's crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It's asking too much. I'd fire the guy. The guy's not that good anyway.
No,
doesn't he used to be, you know, 5 years ago. But yeah. No.
Michael Saylor, who is the Bitcoin maximalist from MicroStrategy, purchased an additional 7,002 Bitcoins for about $415 million during the downturn last week. Now has 121,000 Bitcoins acquired for an average of $29,000 per coin. So
yeah,
he doubled his money. Fear of liquidation of Bitcoin payments to Mt. Gox creditors put additional downward pressure on the markets recently. You know, this is a company that was out there and it went bankrupt, one of the early day
Bitcoin Gox, companies. One of the big boys.
Yeah. November winners. Now listen to this. Some of the things that won during the month for the month of November. Decentraland's Mana was up 250%. Now that's because they opened up that Decentraland to buy those boats and stuff, and you had to buy the coin, and it's up so much. So, you know, again,
to buy the coin to buy the boat.
Another reason why, you know what? If I want to buy something, how come I have to buy something that's so elevated in price? I get screwed on the deal.
Yeah, can happen.
Simonium Space Cube is up from $2.50 to over $20. Both of these are NFTs, real estate, ownership, metaverse related. And this was all about probably about Facebook going into the rebranding to Meta. November losers included, you would have thought this, SushiSwap. These are just ridiculous. Uniswap and Synthetix which are part of the decentralized exchange family of protocols. Generally, they fell around 25 to 30% for the month, mostly on rumors of possible future regulatory issues.
Yeah, well, if that was the reason they fell, why don't all the cryptos fall? Because regulatory issues affect them all, not just these guys.
Well, there's some of them that have certain protocols and different functionality and usage that may be more susceptible, depending on how they're structured.
We probably get more people listening to our show if we just kind of focus on this more. We'll do a segment on this every show.
Yeah. Now, also, I want to mention, and just shows you the quality of why people enjoy buying cryptocurrencies and the intense amount of research that goes into why I'm going to buy this one or that one. Omicron, which is a token that's out there, was up 140% after the WHO named the virus. It's up 750% from the all-time low on November 17th.
Yeah, the Keystone Cops theme for this whole segment.
And finally, in this kind of quasi segment of coinage, Twitter chief executive officer Jack Dorsey stepping down from his role, and his successor has been added. And everybody's all a flutter that he's another Indian that's taking over.
The stock went up, didn't it?
Went down. It was up 10% on the news. It got halted, came all the way down, was down 3% after everybody said, what does that mean?
Well, the new guy's not going to be any better than Dorsey. He's more, according to all the observers, he's more of anti-free speech than Dorsey was.
Yeah. Dorsey's going to go and going to chase his passion of Bitcoin. He's a Bitcoin passion. Bitcoin.
Yeah, and I guess he's going to move Square in that direction, which may open it up for these other competitors.
Right, exactly. All right, what time is it? Oh, we have to move on. Hold, please.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
So what's really bothering you about this list? Is it that some of my names are up dramatically? Yours is doing just fine.
Your one is way up dramatically. Your Matterport, whatever it's called. That's way up. No, it's because you did one Metaverse thing and it's up 52%. Like I didn't go buying bank after bank after bank because of FVC Bank Corp.
Yeah, but you did. Wait, just hold on a second. You have the same theme, which is insiders or descending
triangle. Oh, the theme that everyone has their own way of picking the stocks. I'm not complaining about that.
You're just saying
I'm complaining about
the sector.
About the sectors.
Right. So if I was to buy like Zoom and WebEx and or Cloud or Beer Company.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying. Okay, I got it. Well, all right. We have
because I've laid back on going. I look at the list all the time. I say, do I have a bunch of biotech companies? I'll get one biotech company, I'll just see what happens. In other words, I try to do cream of the crop, which you've done with Matterport because 52% up in like a week is ridiculous. And then you picked come up with this Roblox, which you have picked before. And it's up 8.6, which is okay.
Yeah, what did you do last time? Let's see. I can go to the list. Let's see if I have Roblox here.
You did Roblox a couple of times.
I did?
You've done it at least one time before because I remember the symbol.
I did. I don't know where it is, though. All right. Interesting. And then this week I'm picking Unity Software, which is 3D and has software to create a lot of the things that could be in the metaverse in the future. So that will be the last time I'll take the metaverse.
Well, no, you can keep doing it.
I don't even know any stocks that are available for it anymore. I mean,
You've bought up the sector.
I've cornered the market. I got Park Place and Boardwalk. I'm like the brothers that did the silver markets. Remember them?
Who were those guys?
Hunt brothers?
The Hunt brothers, yeah. Well, one, Bunker Hunt in particular. The other Hunt, one guy had a football team. But it was Bunker. bunker hunt, and he's the one. And he took a bath, I think, because the thing turned on him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he couldn't quite corner it. He tried. It was an attempt. It's a good story. But
what do you have for this week?
I think I've had this before, but I could be wrong. Again, Asana, A-S-A-N.
Yep, cloud-based company. I love them. They really came down dramatically. What's the thesis?
The thesis is this one guy, David Moskowitz, is buying it. He's bought almost $40 million worth, and I think he must know something. Nobody does that.
Asana, I was surprised how well Asana did. Post IPO, Asana is a really cool company. It's used very much as a work management, project management, calendaring, distribution of ideas.
Yeah,
for tech companies.
I use it.
But the thing is,
you use it.
I use it frequently. As a matter of fact, anytime I need something done by the developers, it goes on Asana.
Ooh, interesting.
And then you can assign who it goes to and track all the process. As a matter of fact, I had an issue on DH Unplugged tonight that I pushed off to on Asana to them. So the thing is that I was paying for it for a while. And I'm like, you know, under 5 users, and the user is only the user in your office. There's also guest users. I can have unlimited guest users on there. Not like core administrators, but people that, like, if I had 12 developers, I could put them all on there. They don't have to be... they don't have to pay at all. And I'm just, let's say, one or two people in my office that use Asana. I don't have to pay for it. So I paid for it for like 2 years. And I'm like, do I have to pay for this? Like, no.
It seems like a flaw in their methodology.
Yeah, you'll lose this something.
Let you get away with murder, these guys.
Yeah. And they said, well, you're going to lose your calendaring projecting part. I'm like, okay, that's good. I'm good with that. So anything else?
No, I'm just going to stick with that.
All right. Well, we will come back next week where I'll find a beautiful oil drilling company or something outside tech.
Yeah, we'll find something. What's slumping right now? What part of the market's slumping?
The oil markets have slumped dramatically. I think, you know, tech has held up pretty well. It's the banks. I would maybe take some of these banks. That's interesting. Bank of America.
Well, the banks, the way I see it, the banks are the ones you want at the beginning of a move, not at the end of one. And I think we're at the end of one. That's why I think FVC did so well. And it's not quite 100 right now. It's just under. But I think it's because it picked it up. It was picked up so early on in the upswing
right,
that it did well. I don't know if the banks are the things I'd be looking at personally.
Well, the thing is that the banks really got hit because of the fact that there is a significant amount of, the yield curve flattened out after what Powell talked about and the whole thing that was going on inside of the, inside the discussion of the Senate today. So I think, you know, I just think that if we can get the yields back up, and the yields dropped from 170 to 144 on the 10-year, that's just disastrous for the banks. Terrible. Terrible. So,
well, I think they got ways to go down then. That's why I think my FVC fell under 100%.
Yeah, it could be. All right, until next week, you have a wonderful weekend.
Well, same to you.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida, and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.